Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Resolution number 2024-50, a resolution of the City Council of Pensacola, Florida, providing for use of city staff as clerk to traffic infraction detector special magistrates in accordance with Florida statutes in the City of Pensacola, Florida.
Now, that might not seem like the most exciting thing in the whole wide world, but it is a basic, pure procedural step that has to take place, as I understand it, because of the more recent law passed in the state of Florida that red light camera operating municipalities have to have a little bit more organizational coherence to how they process them. And this is basically just designating the necessary person who's going to oversee the process, be the magistrate, whatever. It doesn't mean that they're installed. It's just like one more thing that has to happen before we can actually have the cameras go active, according to Mayor Reeves.
I know the next question, which is what's next for red light cameras. We had a little delay on two fronts. We're waiting on some state level permitting, as well as some technology complexities at a couple of those intersections. So this passing is not starting it tomorrow or next week. Certainly, we're going to sequence that as it comes. But the goal was by this month, way back when. Probably be a little bit more of a delay and get you more information, but this is obviously a step in that direction.
Yeah, remember the anticipated rollout keeps moving back. As I recall, I thought it was actually going to be even late spring of this year, but, you know, getting the equipment, getting, and plus the law changing, so we have to comply with that. So, you know, when are we going to have red light cameras in Pensacola? Exactly. So, but soon, I mean, you know, relatively speaking, I think it'd be a fair bet to say by the end of the year. I think that's a little long on the horizon, probably this fall sometime, maybe 2 months, you know, something like that. It'd be my best guess, okay? But obviously, you know, when it happens, we'll let you know. There was a very interesting thing. I don't know. We keep having this conversation about housing, right? And I mean, we keep having the conversation, which is appropriate given the challenges that housing is providing for, you know, or that people are having in getting housing that they can afford. And it got me to thinking when I was listening to the city council meeting. I want to play you a clip and then I'll tell you where I'm going with this.
What we can all agree on, every citizen of Pensacola, is that we have a housing crisis, and that's where the agreement ends. That's what I say. It's because of who's affordable, what's affordable to who, exactly what was just described. Everybody's definition is different. Rightfully so. Everybody's lives are different.
All right, raise your hand if you've heard the term affordable housing. All right, raise hands up. Good, good. Now raise your hand if you have no idea what that term means. And you feel like the term is a bit, what's the technical word? Squishy. Uncertain. Second question. Raise your hand if you've heard the term attainable housing. That's kind of like the new word. You know, the affordable was the old word. And, you know, when old words don't work, we've got to find new words. So we found the new word, which is attainable housing. Raise your hand if you have no idea what attainable housing means. Everybody, okay, you don't have to keep raising your hand, sorry. But the point is, these words have become, in my opinion, useless. It's kind of like saying you support education. What, is somebody not? Is there some person out there that's like, oh, we don't need no schools? You know, like, everybody supports education. Well, what dimensions? Nobody agrees. Okay, so same thing with affordable housing. The problem is, like, what is it? Is affordable housing, you know, is it based on the average median income? And what percentage of the average median income do you have to earn in order to say that that is, you know, and that you can afford to be able to say that it's affordable housing? Well, that's one way to define it.
But I would say the AMI is the best uniform recognition of it, where it's not someone's opinion or perspective, is that we're following something that is uniform. And so what was mentioned, Councilwoman Breyer, 80 to 120, that generally that's how we're defining it.
Okay, what he's talking about there is the average median income reference point. The way that works is, you know, the average median income in our area, like in Escambia County, the average median income is, and this is household income, okay, so combined incomes, but it's right now it's at $92,000. Okay, so that is the household average in Escambia County, $92,000. You might think that's high. You might think, my God, who can live on that? I don't know. I mean, everybody's in a different place, okay? But that's the average. And then what you do is you take that number and you divide it by 12. So 92,000 divided by 12, you get a number of a monthly income of 7,600. Okay? So somebody's pulling in shy of $8,000 a month into the house. And then you multiply that times 0.3, 30%. And you get a number of 2,300. And the idea is that average median income, spending no more than 30% of their income on housing, can afford a house or a rental or whatever as high as 2,300. You follow? That's kind of the concept. And so when they're talking about, because the standard is you shouldn't be spending more than 30% of your income on housing. Okay. And you know, they don't take out for taxes. I mean, there's lots of problems with this way of looking at it, but this is kind of the idea. And so when they say, you know, 120% AMI, what they're talking about is 92,000 times 1.2 divided by 12 times 30%, and then you get a number. And so somebody who is making, so the rent is 2,500, let's say, that's in the vicinity of the 120 AMI. And so that's affordable. And you say, who in God's green earth thinks that $2,500 a month is affordable rent? And the answer is, well, not many people. I mean, that's crazy when you're talking about people who are anywhere not in the prosperous zone, right? Also you look at things like, what is the average rent? For example, the fair market rent of a two-bedroom, okay? A two-bedroom apartment right now in 2024 data says it's about $1,300 a month, okay? So you can kind of run the reverse number, which is if you take that and multiply that out to, if that's 30%, that means you're making $4,300 a month. And if you're making $4,300 a month, then you're making $52,000 a year. And so the idea is that in order to afford at 30% of your income, a two-bedroom apartment, you got to be making $52,000 a year. And if you're not making $52,000 a year, then you cannot afford a two-bedroom apartment. Well, how many people are making $52,000 a year? When the minimum wage is 11 bucks, that's 22 grand a year. But, you know, very few people are working full-time jobs, minimum wage, trying to support even their own independent living, let alone, you know, having a wife and a couple of kids or whatever. But let's say you make $15 an hour. That's a much more common, you know, low-end income. That's $30,000 a year. And you need 52 just to afford a two-bedroom apartment. At 30% of your income. You're starting to see how some of these numbers work. So when they say 80%, they're talking about $92,000 a year. 80% of that is about $72,000 a year. Divided by 12 times 30. Okay, you start to see how this all works. So the numbers can be confusing, and the problem is that your affordable label can change based on whether you're, you know, multiple incomes in your family, can change based on whether you have multiple children, how many children, because obviously, you know, you need more room in order to accommodate those bodies, basically. Here's my theory on this, okay? I think we should stop saying affordable housing. I think the term is meaningless. I think everybody hears that term, and then they immediately ask, well, what do you mean by it? And then there's a whole bunch of, well, and this, and you know, the thing, and the pork bellies, and the price of wheat in China, and it's a useless term. And anytime a word or a term becomes useless, it doesn't have a value in the conversation, so let's stop using it. Attainable housing, same thing. Doesn't mean anything. What we should instead do, this is my suggestion for, you know, all the politicians, okay? Many of which listen to the show, is let's find a new set of words. Let's create a new set of words and make those terms or those words a lot easier to understand. And here's kind of where my thinking is at. maybe the words can be dumb things like, you know, A, B, C, D housing. Okay, or, you know, if you prefer the little bit more military sounding, you know, Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Echo, Delta, Echo. And the idea would be that, you know, Alpha housing would be housing that people making minimum wage can afford. Which doesn't exist, by the way. You know? Bravo housing would be housing that people making $15 an hour can afford. And you see kind of what I'm getting at. Like, you start to have a label for the price of the housing that isn't complicated to understand, but maybe gives you a sense of, okay, Alpha housing at the very low end, you know, which is always going to be like kind of like publicly subsidized, basically. That's that kind of housing. But for the end consumer, it's going to be if you're making minimum wage, you can get into that kind of housing. Bravo, 15, you know, more like the common minimum wage. Charlie might be $20 an hour. That's just one idea. That's just one way to talk about it. Even talking about AMI, I think, is a real problem because AMI is so skewed on the basis of people at the upper end making a lot of money, makes it seem, I mean, honestly, $92,000 a year, I just don't think all that many households, the ones we're concerned about, you know, I mean, that's what, like a cop and a teacher combined are probably making in that vicinity, right? AMI. But we got to be worried about those folks. Workforce housing is another term you hear, you know, for, and maybe you're talking in that $80,000 to $100,000 a year household income range for workforce housing. But what about if you're living on your own? Anyway, so that's kind of the scope of the issue that I'm thinking about. And so my recommendation is just a new way of talking. Now, I think a new way of talking could just be price-based references. You know, stop talking about affordable and just say housing that's $1,500 a month or less. Housing that's $2,000 a month or less. I mean, that's something everybody can comprehend because it's priced to the consumer. You could have income-based housing, maybe. Just say, you know, housing that people who make 50 grand can afford. I mean, there are specific numbers attached to that, but instead of saying affordable or workforce or attainable, these nebulous terms that nobody agrees or understands, use terms to describe which housing we're getting that the ordinary person who's concerned about this issue will grasp. Oh, that's housing that somebody who makes 50 grand can afford. I get it. We got 30 units that are coming in that an income of $50,000 a year can afford. Okay. Or, and again, you could just do the cost number in the end. And of course, those numbers kind of will shift over time as the overall, you know, inflation affects us and prices go up or they go down if they ever do. But it just strikes me that a new way of talking about it, a little bit more clear way of talking about it, would avoid this never-ending throw our hands around and complain about how these definitions are complicated. Because every time somebody says the word affordable or attainable housing out loud or online, you get 50 other people say, well, what do you mean by that? And is that realistic? And you call it affordable, but people who work as a nurse can't afford that. So stop using the term and say something different. That's all. That's all I'm suggesting. Because until we can have a meaningful conversation about challenges and problems that we're facing, we're unlikely to come up with good solutions for those challenges and problems. And so the frustration of somebody, you know, like the mayor says, we're going to provide, 20% of this project is going to be affordable housing. And somebody says, well, what's that number? He's like, it's 120 of AMI. And they're like, yeah, nobody makes that much money. And then everybody's just, So I'd say, well, you know, it's going to be 100 units and 20 of them are going to be $1,500 a month. Oh, all right. Or if you prefer a label, you know, it's going to be 100 units. 20 of them are going to be Alphas. 20 of them are going to be Bravos. 20 of them are going to be Charlies. If you think that kind of a scheme is likely to be useful. Because the reason that Alpha, Bravo, Charlie kind of approach is that it would allow the changes over time in terms of how the incomes shift. And you wouldn't have to be using the actual numbers, if that makes sense to you. 524 on News Radio Pensacola. All right, John, I hesitate to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I've been doing math on the radio now for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And anytime you do math on the radio, it's always right. One of those like, oh, God, I hope this helps. Clear, confusing?
Very clear.
Okay.
Because I had no clue that that's what that meant.
Cool.
But now I know the formula, and I'm like, okay, this makes sense.
And if everybody understood the formula, that'd be great.
Right.
But also, if we just kind of used a way of talking about it that was more end consumer clear, I think that would be great, right?
Yes.
A win all around. 525 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay, and speaking of housing, if you are trying to understand all of this stuff, or you're just trying to survive in this environment, or you're thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to figure out what to do, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can help you with that. I mean, they know all this stuff cold, okay? I mean, this stuff is like easy, do it in your sleep kind of stuff for them. But the point is that that's what a real estate agent is supposed to do. They're supposed to be able to comprehend the complicated, nuanced, shifting, changing, number-based stuff that affects your life so that when you're trying to find a home to buy or trying to sell the home you've got, that person is able to almost instinctively help you figure out whether these are good or bad decisions and what they mean for you in a practical way that you can understand so that you can make those decisions. And, of course, they're great at that. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they sold 175 homes last year. The phone number is 723-9158, or just look them up online.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ugh, I've been feeling so sluggish and just kind of blah.
Been there. That's why I take Align yogurt-coated probiotic fruit bites.
But I suppose they taste blah?
Actually, they taste delicious. It's an apple blueberry-flavored center covered in a yogurt coating and is infused with probiotics to help support a healthy gut. They come 5 in a pouch. I just toss one in my bag and go.
Toss one in my bag?
Get your own.
New Align yogurt-coated probiotic fruit bites from the makers of the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Find them in the digestive care aisle.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
I can hold my breath for a long time.
If I turn on the mic. Good morning, 527 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with the headlines. David?
Barack and Michelle Obama now officially endorsing Kamala Harris in a video that was released here just in the last few hours.
This is going to be historic.
We called to say Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office.
And again, that
into
video,
the Oval Off.
Well, yeah, I think that was a bad edit on my part. I was in a rush. I was trying to get the audio cut
oval
and everything.
On,
and
oval
then I heard,
off,
"Hey, here's
get
David."
Get her into the Oval Off. You know, okay, I may be the only one, and my ears may be broken, but I swear, when you started playing the clip, that was Michelle.
It was.
I thought it was Kamala.
Oh, right.
John, hey, same thing? You heard it as Kamala's voice?
I did.
And I never have side-by-side of their voices to see how different or not they are, but my first thought was, well, I thought he was talking about Michelle, and now I hear Kamala, and then, of course, it turns out,
well,
it's
and it's kind of a weird video because the video is of Kamala on the phone, but you're hearing,
but you hear them,
you're hearing the Obamas
like
on the other
narration
end.
Narration by the Obamas?
Yeah, it's weird. Kind of a big, weird produced video, but
also,
that's out there this morning.
Also, when you're this slow for the endorsement, it means your heart's not in it. And we know that's true. We know that, you know, Obama helped force Biden out, and the Obamas don't necessarily get along with the Harris's, or the, what's his name, Imel, or Imel, whatever his name is. Anyway, so, okay, we'll see how this goes. Go on, David.
Also this morning, Harvey Weinstein is in the hospital with COVID and double pneumonia. Yesterday, his representative said he'd been moved to the prison's hospital ward where he's being treated. And Marvel Studios' Deadpool and Wolverine expected this weekend to break the record for best opening weekend for an R-rated film.
Well, except that everybody's going to be watching the Olympics instead.
Well, that's got to be true. Yeah
no, I think people are going to go to the... And that's kind of been the interesting thing about Deadpool is because they're, you know, really the R-rated Marvel comics, right? Movies. And but yeah, they've been, and I expect, I mean, this is all my comic nerd friends are like, this is everything I have ever dreamed of in one movie.
This Wolverine, too, is so interesting because it's the first Wolverine movie where he looks like the comic version of Wolverine with the yellow and blue suit. And
I'm there's something deep inside of me that's very excited about this.
Yeah, me too.
Very, very. Wolverine was my first comic love. You know, he was my first hero, the one I, you know, Bub and Snicked, and the, I mean, that was what I grew up reading, and so yeah, I'm maybe a little over enthusiastic about this.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The former president and first lady Barack and Michelle Obama endorse Kamala Harris for president. A video of their phone call to the vice president's released by her campaign.
We called to say Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office.
She's scheduled to speak to her fundraising committee today. Former President Trump in Florida meets with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and addresses the right-wing youth organization Turning Point USA. Arson disrupts high-speed train service to Paris hours before today's Olympics opening ceremony.
France's state railway company says the fires were set at installations along the lines connecting the capital with the country's west, north, and east, and that services will be severely impacted during the weekend.
Fox's Chanley Painter, the train company, says an attempt to start a fire on another line was stopped. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now it's 74 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning. Well, the last of the residents that have been calling Jones Swamp home have now been removed. According to the News Journal, the deadline for those remaining to move out of that area was Wednesday. Escambia County deputies were on hand to make sure that court order was enforced. The property is owned by the Area Housing Commission. They notified residents back in February that they had about 90 days to move out. At that point, there were 40 people living there, but by the deadline on Wednesday, the number had decreased to around 12. Two homes in Santa Rosa County prone to devastating flooding are finally going to be dealt with. During yesterday's meeting, the Santa Rosa County Commissioners approved purchasing the two homes on Avenida del Sol for $638,000. Commissioner Colton Wright says this had been an issue for over a decade, and all the options had been exhausted.
It was the only way which we could really solve the problem and move forward. So we're careful that we're not trying to set a precedent. We're not going to run around buying people's homes. But this was just a very unique circumstance, and this was the best solution.
And Wright says that the properties will be converted to an open green space. An abortion rights group now asking the Florida Supreme Court to side with them in a dispute over Amendment 4. The amendment on November's ballot would legalize abortion until the fetus reaches viability. The Financial Impact Estimating Conference released an analysis about 2 weeks ago of the amendment's possible financial impact. The committee found that it couldn't accurately determine the financial impact because of lawsuits that would likely be filed if it passed. A group called Floridians Protecting Freedom filed a request on Wednesday with the Florida Supreme Court to strike down the impact statement. They claim politicians unfairly influenced the committee. There's no word on when that court could issue a ruling. And new details being released after a Pensacola man was arrested, accused of fatally shooting his wife and dog. 51-year-old Timothy Kramer charged with first-degree premeditated murder and aggravated animal cruelty. 47-year-old Rosa Kramer had left her husband a few weeks ago and was living elsewhere, but investigators say she returned to their home on Hillcrest Avenue Tuesday to collect belongings, believing that he wouldn't be home at the time. That night, the Escambia Sheriff's Office put out a missing persons alert. Her body was later found in the home the next morning. Timothy Kramer was arrested in Milton and extradited back to Escambia County on Wednesday. 534 right now, News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a 70% chance of rain. Highs today near 89 degrees, overnight dropping near 75. For Friday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 89. Friday night temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping the wet pattern around for your weekend, Saturday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 89. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we have 74 degrees in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, and also 73 in Milton. Let's go ahead and get a look at our financial market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Weir's Farms Incorporated has expanded its recall for more than a dozen staple summer vegetables, including cucumbers, green bell peppers, and parsley, due to possible listeria contamination. The products in question were packed between July 5th and the 12th and shipped to Walmart and Aldi locations. The faulty produce was sent to more than 10 states, including Michigan, Kentucky, New York, and Pennsylvania. As many as 1.4 million used car buyers who finance vehicles through Wells Fargo Bank were forced to pay for insurance they didn't need, according to a civil lawsuit alleging bank and wire fraud. The six-count lawsuit was filed against National General Holdings Corporation and three affiliate companies. The forced insurance caused borrowers to pay money they did not owe, borrowers to default on their loans, vehicle repossessions, and negative impact to borrowers' credit scores. Futures are moderately higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 81. That's Your Money Now.
And your next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
This is a test. This is only a test of the emergency alert system.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my
5:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Grace Resendez McCaffrey about this whole Chilean workers issue that ST Engineering Aerospace has been laying off these workers that they set out to recruit to bring here and put them on the visa program, the H-1B-1 visas, and then all of a sudden they're out of jobs even though they've uprooted their families to come here. It's a very concerning story. We wouldn't normally maybe have a lot to say about it because, you know, companies do all kinds of things, but this is a company that's been very heavily intertwined with and partnered with financial support from various governments, from the state of Florida to Escambia County to the city of Pensacola. And so our care and concern about their practices is a little bit higher than it would be for the norm. Grace, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. So, this story is very concerning to me. If it were just some regular company, you know, companies do the things that they do. What makes this kind of a unique situation is all the public money, which has been poured into the project for the hangars at the airport that, of course, ST Aerospace is so involved in. But before we kind of get into any of that, can you just tell us what happened? You know, you've talked with a lot of these folks. How did we get here? What's the actual story?
So a few weeks ago, they reached out to me. A group of workers contacted me to ask for a meeting where I sat with about six workers, former workers, that explained to me the situation that they had been laid off. And they're explaining to me that they're engineers, aerospace engineers, and they're working for ST Engineering. And they were very worried. They were very concerned, trying to explain to me their individual situations. And when I understood who the company was that they were working for, I think, you know, that's when it kind of hit us. This is something that the city needs to know about. And so as I started collecting information, doing a lot of fact-checking and stuff like that and digging into their individual statements, the common thread is that they were recruited from their country through a national campaign. They actually met the HR director that they know here, that they work for here, over there. And he was the one that, you know, told them all about Pensacola and what a great place it is and the jobs that they had here. They gave me a copy of, it's kind of like an advertorial, like it's an article, but promoting the job announcements that they're making, this kind of job fairs that they're having at hotels and that kind of thing. And talking about they're looking to hire at least, 100 workers with, under an H-1B-1 visa and explaining what this visa is. This is a annually renewable visa. And so the implications are that you're going to be here possibly up to 10 years, but at least 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So which makes sense. They're not doing this in their minds. They're not doing this simply for 1 year. They're expecting this is a long-term commitment. I mean, like at least one person actually just, bought a house, like got a mortgage on a house approved, like with the week before they were terminated. Right.
Yeah. And so understand that these folks they're military servicemen. A few of them actually went into retirement with their military careers to switch to this career with ST Engineering. And then, of course, brought their families and this kind of stuff.
Oh, actually left the military service in Chile to take this job opportunity in America working in this field. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on. Yeah. This is, go on.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and so trying to moving closer to their actual termination, they were told that they were getting suspended for an undefined amount of time.
Okay.
But that they would only get paid for 2 weeks. So essentially saying it could be 2 months, but we're only going to pay you for 2 weeks.
Kind of furloughed,
basically.
I think
at that point it's warm. Yeah. But they're... I believe at that time it's when the Department of Labor got involved, and there seemed to be some kind of change in that. I'm not sure about this part, but they can't keep them on suspension without pay.
Okay.
So that's when they started firing them.
Okay. So people who don't know the H-1B-1 program, it's really tied to the employer, and if you're not tied to that employer, then what happens? Like, can you seek employment elsewhere? How does that work?
So you can seek employment, but you can't be employed until the new employer becomes your sponsor. And then there's an actual formality where you have to leave the country and come back again.
So even if they were to find employment in the field with somebody else, they'd have to go back to Chile to come back to America and get the new company to be the new sponsor. Is that right?
Yeah, like I said, it's a formality. So, I mean, they would maybe go home and visit their family for a week and come right back.
Okay. We're talking to Grace McCaffrey. Yep. Hang on for just a second, Grace, because this, again, I think this is such a crazy story, and a lot of times we maybe wouldn't even talk about it much, but it's interesting from a human perspective, but also because ST is kind of like a private-public partnership with the city and the state and the county and everybody else. By the way, I think it was the mayor paid you quite a compliment the other day, which I would say the same thing, you know, because there are a lot of people that when they make claims on social media or even in front of the city council, you kind of like, okay, but I know you're reliable. And he said the same thing. Like, it's Grace's, you know, Grace, I trust her. I know she's going to do her facts and she knows what she's talking about. So at this point, so they started firing them, and you said you had met her initially. Mm-hmm. There were six of them. How many are we talking about now?
So they had actually kind of formed a group among 40 of them. And then that week that we were going to speak to the city council about this, another five had been dismissed.
So 45. And how many workers are there from Chile working between the Mobile and the Pensacola operations for ST?
It's my understanding there's about 100 here in Pensacola and 200 in Mobile, and they both work under the same HR office.
Okay, and how many are in Pensacola that have been terminated at this point?
Oh, gosh, I don't have that breakdown.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, but in any case, ST went to Chile, recruited them, brought them here, what they thought was going to be a long-term engagement, and now they're saying that there's some problem with the visa, and they're letting them go. What I don't really understand about this is that the consistent story from ST is we are dying to get employees. We can't find enough people to work here. It would seem like they're very motivated to keep, they've got way more business than they can service with the level of employees. That's why we're doing the whole training program with PSC. So do you have any understanding of what the problem is or why there's a, because it seems counter the story that we've been told.
There's several things that seem counter. In fact, some of the replies that some of the media have gotten about the firings is that they're actually trying to work on these visa issues, but and sorry, it gets a little bit in some weeds here, but that we've been waiting for official documents that say the last day of their employment. That date, according to their visa, they have to they have 60 days from that date to leave the country or possibly find another sponsor. They've got 60 days to work out their situation for their visa. Only seven of these 40 terminated employees received a letter of termination. So we had been asking for these documents, I mean, these letters for all the rest of the employees, because of this compliance that they have with their visas.
Right.
They never received them until after we went to see the city council.
Really?
That's when all of a sudden they all received a letter, and those letters actually say you may want to consult with your own immigration attorney because you're probably outside of status.
Wow. So they're being told in these letters that they didn't get initially, they're being told now that they're in some kind of outside of status or in violation of the law, which as far as they know, that's not true. And again, it would seem like ST would be motivated to help them get their renewals and, you know, make this work, right?
It's not just motivation, but it's also their responsibility. The sponsor, the visa sponsor, is 100% responsible for their visa status and the cost as well.
Okay. Yeah. Which makes sense if you're going to be a sponsor. It makes sense that you take on those obligations because otherwise, why would the State Department, why would we grant the visas in the first place unless we knew there was some reliable party in the United States working to make this happen? That makes sense. Okay. So so this is a big problem. It might become bigger as other people come up against maybe their year or against whatever is going on. These folks are struggling and suffering and trying to figure out what to do. Of course, again, we have this public-private partnership, which means that we all kind of have an interest in what ST is doing. I mean, they brought their families. They're adults. They're here. They're now trying to figure out what to do. What is the next step? I mean, it sounds like it's just basically at this point, we need to help these people stay fed and housed until we figure out what to do. But it seems kind of like a crisis. What do we do next?
So there was a few things that were going on. We first needed those letters. We finally got them, and they're not very kind. The second one, we had at least one employee who was not able to seek employment because there was an error on his immigration documents. Yesterday, hallelujah. Actually, our local Border Protection Office helped us fix that.
Okay, good.
And so he is now able to seek employment. I do think that at the very least, you know, these folks deserve some type of severance because they were not given any kind of notice. And given the distance that they are from any kind of, you know, stability that they had before,
right.
They need some help with that. They at the very least should get assistance with job placement. And so I'm working with some of the, like, Escarosa, you know, organizations like that that might be able to help with that here. And hopefully the office in Mobile will also step in to see what they can do. Last night,
it occurs to me, do you know if there are any other countries from which workers are I just don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem to me like Chile would be the only place they would go, but do you know?
By this company?
Yeah.
Hired by this company currently? Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, they've got plenty.
Okay.
They got plenty of workers. So, yeah, it's obviously a big endeavor to bring folks from another country.
Right.
But the odd thing that I'm seeing is that there's a few of them that have been offered jobs through a different type of visa, a J visa.
Okay.
That J visa, from what I can tell, is only for education.
Okay.
And so the idea that they could possibly be hired under this visa, I'm not sure where that's coming from. It doesn't make any sense to me unless they're, you know, trying to say that they'd be working for this school the mayor's talking about, but I don't know that that's it's for the same jobs that they have. So
right.
This is very,
it's confusing.
Peculiar.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's kind of what I had thought the story was, but I wanted to hear it directly from you and know the scope of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I'm going to, you know, try to reach out to ST and see if I can get any perspective from them or at least understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I said it twice, but I'll say it again. Normally, you know, look, companies do things all the time. They make decisions that people find unpleasant. What makes this sort of a little bit more of an odd situation is because all of our taxpayer money is invested in making this project work. And it's not just that it looks like they might be mistreating people, may or may not be true, but if their whole project depends on them getting workers trained who can do the job of servicing these planes, that they say they have a massive number of planes to service, why on earth wouldn't we be keeping as many workers as we possibly can to take care of that? That just doesn't make any sense to me at this point. Grace McCaffrey, she's the president of Latino Media Gulf Coast. I'm sorry, Grace, did you want to say something else?
Yeah, just on a community personal kind of level. You know, we've got 40 families that were abruptly terminated and left without any sort of income. They cannot work for another company, right?
Yeah.
They can't just pick up and find another job because of their visas are tied to this company. So last night we did some donations from Marcus Point Church actually helped yesterday, and another private donor. We got some food to some families and a little bit of, you know, help to get them food, keep food on their tables. They've got children here. Some of them, most of them have teenagers.
Yeah.
And older children.
Which makes sense based on their professional development. So if people want to help, how can they get a hold of you?
If they want to give me a call, I'm at 850-494-7899. I'm very easy to find on Facebook as well. Most people just message me through there.
Okay. 494-7899 if you want to give Grace a call. Or you can find her on social media. It's very easy, Grace McCaffrey. Well, Grace, thank you for doing what you do in the community, keeping us informed, and also, you know, giving us an opportunity to help. And, I mean, hopefully we can find some answers and, you know, see what's going on and maybe make life a little bit better for these visitors from another country. Grace, thank you for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And by the way, it looks like from the recruiting seminars and or maybe the, you know, HR training that took place in the early phases, that there was even an implied or outright stated promise that they could get them on the path to a green card. And certainly the multi-year nature of this engagement was part of the implication. Even if they weren't operating under a contract, it seems clear that that's what people were expecting. And so, again, you know, To what degree has ST misled people, if that's true? To what degree have they failed in their duty to continue to try to get these visas in their proper status or get these people, you know, to sort of fulfill their own promises to these people? Well, this is kind of the ongoing investigation, and kind of everybody's looking at this, you know, WAR, PNJ, Studio 850, and we are kind of investigating to try to find out more about this. And as we learn more, we'll tell you more. 555 on News Radio Pensacola. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got a massive selection of good quality used vehicles. 1, 2, 3 years young, as I like to say. Maybe 4, okay? Low miles, great condition. They really only specialize in A-quality cars. The idea is they're going to stand behind those cars, you know, with low miles and great condition. They're going to stand behind those cars and, in fact, stand behind them so much that they'll actually actively call you after, or at least I know they did it for me and I know they've done it for other people, 6 months after they sell you the vehicle and then a year after they sell you the vehicle and follow up and say, is there anything wrong with it? Now, if you're trying like the typical used car dealer where you just want to interact with somebody one time, get them out the door and hope they don't come back within 3 days, you know, you don't do it this way. You're just trying to, you know, you've encountered this where you feel like they're just trying to get you into a deal and, you know, they don't really care. Well, Frontier is trying to get you in a deal that you're going to be happy with a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, and then maybe 4 or 5 years later, you come back to them for another deal like that. Like, they want to sell you all the cars for the rest of your life. And so they're thinking that long-term game of taking care of the customer, which is what they do. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 6th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 16th in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark.
Hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Special thank you to miracle sponsor, Florida Blue.
Our champion sponsors include Kia Autosport and Tell Staffing and HR.
Thank you.
Proceeds will benefit the life-saving programs and services at Studer Family Children's Hospital.
This year, help us raise money for the NICU's Angel Eye cameras.
You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend, and she said, oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours. And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
Change. Positive change is happening all around us. Greater Pensacola is growing. And that's why I joined the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join us. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
559 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Let's get a quick headlines from David Wayne in the newsroom. David?
Well, French officials say that their national train service was targeted by several malicious acts ahead of the Olympics. This morning, French rail officials said arson attacks had forced a number of trains to be canceled. As many as 800,000 passengers were affected.
Wow, and this is ahead of the opening ceremonies that take place a little bit later on this afternoon, our time, night their time. Wow.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Florida Power and Light using a new method of maintaining their lawn at their solar facility. We'll tell you all about it right after this update. from Fox News, local news at 6:05.